Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everyone. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden. We've got the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up at 3:30, Daniel Greenfield from the David Horowitz Freedom Center has a really interesting new book out, Domestic Enemies, talking about how the founding fathers were fighting the radical Marxists from the beginning of the country. But we want to start off with a grassroots patriot from Pueblo, Alex Magatu, and he has got some stuff up in Rhino Watch that he wrote, but he's also been talking about it on Facebook and social media about CD3 GOP candidate Stephen Varela. A lot of issues, a lot of
and his hanging mate of the new National Republican Committee woman.
That's right, Christie. And so, Alex, why don't I let you? I mean, there's a whole slew of things we've talked about them a bit before. And I think just so folks know too, where we're coming from, we totally support Ron Hanks as a candidate there. And also,
well, any decent human being does.
Right, exactly. So, Alex, thank you for your
Jeff
time.
Jeff Frank and the Americans for Prosperity. Yeah.
No, Jeff Hurd.
Same thing, Americans for Prosperity.
Well, exactly. So, Alex, why don't you kind of lay some of this out for us? Because you've been following it a lot.
Sure. Well, thank you guys for having me. Essentially, I've been kind of prosecuting this case that Stephen Varela is first and foremost a hardcore Democrat. And so back in the 2022 election, when he kind of muscled his way into the Senate District 3 race and basically locked out three lifelong Republicans out of a primary process, it became very evident at that point that we were working with something that we haven't really seen before here. So as we start looking into his background, you start finding things like a dark money group called Colorado Rural United, which was classified as a political action committee where Stephen Varela himself would brag about raising $300,000 for this political action committee. The thing is he never really said what they used that $300,000 for. It came out after the fact that they used that money to put up some nasty billboards about Lauren Boebert in the 2020 election, I believe it was. So some of you may have seen it. If you're in Southern Colorado, they were the billboards with Lauren Boebert's mugshot on them. There may have been some nastier stuff up on the Western Slope, but in a nutshell, Stephen Varela has been a Democrat operative for quite some time. He would run for public office in Pueblo, like city council, county commissioner, whatever is available, basically chasing a political title. And when the Democrats finally saw what they were dealing with, they kind of figured out that he wasn't as savory as they wanted him to be. So they actually kicked into the curb. And in 2021, I believe was his latest metamorphosis into a Republican. He's been a registered Republican since 2021, and we've basically been prosecuting this case ever since. So,
we'll pull up his response. One of the things that has come out, thanks to people like you, Alex, is that Stephen Varela in 11 years has changed his political affiliation from Republican to Democrat to Republican to 18 times, 18 yeah. times. And as you said, most recently in 2020, he was a Democrat. And I think it was the Pueblo chieftain asked him who he voted for. And he tried to be like, oh, I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Like you wouldn't remember that. But yeah. I was a Democrat, so probably a Democrat. I mean, talk a little bit about that.
So funny you mentioned that because the story changes depending on who he's talking to. So he put out I don't have social media, so I haven't been prosecuting this case on Facebook or anything. People I understand have been sharing a lot of what I've been putting out there to social media. But I was sent a screenshot where he kind of said a couple of weeks ago that he's calling on the Secretary of State's office to do an audit, and the current Pueblo County clerk to do an audit on his voter registration, because he's adamant that he never changed his party 18 times.
If we could do that, Thomas, that's a screenshot. If we could please pull up the Varela screenshot so people could see it. What it says here is, he says every voter should be concerned about election integrity, blah, 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 blah. His, you know, there's voting records show I changed political parties up to 18 times in recent years. It's nonsense, of course. I've told them to look into this. And I wonder how many other voters have errant voting records as a result of incompetence or corruption. So a couple of things here that people need to point out, or I want to point out, is some people have said, well, is this even true? So he confirms that the shot that's out there showing his voter registration record is accurate, right? He's just trying to claim, and Thomas, okay, that's okay, we can take it down now. But, you know, Alex, on its face of it, that's just absurd, right? That somehow or another, that Stephen Varela, somebody's been hacking their way into the Colorado Secretary of State's office.
And he never noticed.
But he did notice, because he had to keep changing it back, right?
Oh, I see.
And then 18 times they did this to him, and apparently no one else in Colorado.
Many times. Many, many other people did.
And even in the last time, he went ahead and just voted Democrat, I guess, because that's a ballot they sent. What do you make? To me, it's not even remotely believable.
So as a marketing executive, that's what I do, you know, for my day job is I'm a marketing consultant. And basically there's a lot that's going on with that particular post that he put out there right now. First and foremost, he's actually trying to scapegoat the previous county clerk in Pueblo County, which was Gilbert Ortiz. And don't get me wrong, I mean, Gilbert Ortiz did have some ethical issues that he had to deal with. He was a longtime clerk. I mean, probably like at least 12 years he was the county clerk. So he had a good run. But what actually happened here with this Facebook post that he put out, you're actually witnessing Stephen Varela's ability to pivot. And so he went from essentially an establishment-like Republican candidate. Now he's trying to pivot to a grassroots candidacy with that every voter should be cautious kind of BS, which I agree with him. And when he calls for the audit, I'm with him. Let's get to the bottom of this. You know, have the Secretary of State, I believe Rhino Watch did publish a document, a voter registration document that showed each of the party changes on the dates that they changed. And so the thing is that he's actually trying to scapegoat Gilbert Ortiz. There's another a screenshot out there from our old pal George Ottobee.
Yeah, we can pull that one up, Thomas, too, if you can. That's an Ottobee screenshot.
So if, as you can read that there, this is our friend George Ottobee, and we'll get into him in a minute here. As you can see, he basically, this is a hardcore Democrat in his own right. They go to Democrat functions, and he says here that you can, you know, this was a perfect event to go out and meet the elected officials in Pueblo County. And he labeled Stephen Varela as one of these elected officials. Obviously, at this point in time, Stephen Varela wasn't elected to anything. And to be honest, he still isn't. But if you look down a little further, you'll see Gilbert Ortiz's name on there. So if Gilbert Ortiz was, you know, if they were chummy enough to be at the same events together when he was a Democrat, that just goes to show that he's trying to scapegoat Gilbert Ortiz at this point for his own political benefit on the Republican side. And I think I sent a screenshot of Gilbert Ortiz just so just for reference on who we're talking about here.
Okay. You know, and I wasn't able to pull that. I'm sorry. That's my error.
Who is behind the money that Varela has? Because he's got a lot of money.
To be honest, I haven't been following his fundraising for this congressional race. I know when he ran for Senate District 3, he did raise money like a Democrat, and he spent money like a Democrat. And so
it doesn't take
Chuck has a suspicion here.
It's quae bono. Quae bono is Latin phrase for who benefits. Who benefits?
Yeah.
This is the Americans for Prosperity. They are funding. There's nothing more brilliant than funding a candidate that'll take your opponent votes away from them. This is just one other thing with the national, and they've got millions. They've said they're going to send millions on this race, so they can give just a few hundred thousand, and they get this guy who's going to take votes away from Ron Hanks. And so it's all Americans for Prosperity are fully engaged in this thing, and they will do every dirty trick, which is their mantra, they can. And so they're behind this because it benefits their candidate.
And on the Dem, and as you said, he's been a, and I think we may have a picture of this Gilbert Ortiz. You can go ahead and put that up, Thomas. And just Alex, tell me if that's not Gilbert Ortiz. I don't want to put the wrong guy up there. And is this him?
Yep, that's Gilbert Ortiz, the former clerk of Pueblo County.
And he was a Democrat. He was a Democrat, right?
Yeah, he was pretty much the fixer for the Democrat candidates for quite a long time.
You're saying sort of as evidence that Varela has been a Democrat operative for years is the close affiliation he had before with this guy. But now that he suddenly had this pivot to becoming a grassroots Republican, now he's attacking him and saying somehow it's this guy's fault, even though it wouldn't even remotely be his fault, that his party registration is changing. Right. You don't change your party registration. In Pueblo, in the Pueblo clerk and recorders. Well, maybe you can, but I mean, you go online and do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You could go online and do it. You can do it at the driver's bureau. So, at the end of the day, a voter registration is not a county operation. Although you can do it at the county level, it's a procedure that's handled at the state level. So, I'm with him. You know what? Candice Rivera, who is the current Pueblo County clerk, do the audit locally let's get to the bottom of it and get to the bottom of it once and for all. Now, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, they won't do that. Well, and again, it's just patently, because I want to get into some of
this. But once again, you have to get to who's the bad guy. Who's the truly bad guy?
Me.
Jeff Herd.
you.
But next to you, well, Jeff Herd. He's running this nothing campaign where he ever says nothing. It's like they say, why would we have heard from Jeff Herd?
Funny you mentioned that. Funny you mentioned that, Chuck, because we're hearing quite a bit here in Pueblo County that Jeff Herd is in Pueblo all the time. The problem is I don't think he's holding campaign events, so he must be meeting with the Illuminati or something, because nobody knows what he's doing in Pueblo, or nobody knows that he's in Pueblo until after he's gone. So funny you mention that.
And it's both of the things that you say could be true, right? He could be a Democrat operative who's being used willingly by the Americans for Prosperity
to help their candidate,
Jeff
Herd, open borders. Jeff Herd.
And we know the Democrats have loved to play in CD3 before. Remember, the Aspen Times had an editorial saying that everybody should, all the Democrats should change their party affiliation to go vote against Lauren Boebert. But it sounds like this Varela guy, though, this goes back, 11
don't
years.
Don't concentrate on Varela, because he's just a stooge.
I know, but I want to
He's a stooge for Jeff Herd.
Right, but
that's
we need
all
people to not vote for him. We need people to vote
for
him.
No, we need these people. But you need to identify who the bad guy is.
He is, but I want to just...
Not enough.
I want to talk a little bit about Varela in terms of, though, again, this 11 years. This is not just this recent... He's apparently played both sides trying for his own benefit for at least 11 years, right? Nobody changes their party affiliation back and forth that way unless they're... Does he want to run for office? Is he trying to get favors?
So that's exactly what he's doing. And Chuck, with all due respect, I do disagree. He's not a stooge. I mean, the guy is chasing political titles and he's chasing political paychecks is what he wants, basically.
No, he isn't. Well, he is working for the Americans for Prosperity.
Well, that's
you
a
have
paycheck.
One deal. You have to say the American Prosperity or they will not support you. One, you support open borders.
Sure.
Two, support trade with China unlimited. You have to pledge those two things. Because they won't support you other than that.
Well, and it's
so Jeff Herd is screwing the American people, is screwing each and every one of us by doing a backdoor deal with Charles Koch.
And
they bring in people like Varela to help him get there.
Let me, too, a little bit more about Varela. I know your point is well taken on that. But also, though, there's more, and I don't think we should be distracted overly much, or at least so that we forget some of the other issues involving Stephen Varela, right? I mean, he's got their federal investigations there. Why don't you kind of go through some of those?
So the federal investigation, there was an issue that said he misappropriated union funds when he was a union president, and again, you really can't be a union president or a union boss unless you're a hardcore Democrat.
Right.
They just don't put Republicans in positions like that. So there was that, and I believe that Denver Post was the one that push that out there. I mean, take that one with a grain of salt, but I tend to believe it because of some of the activity that we've seen him engage in down here in Pueblo. There's a sealed arrest record in Kansas where I believe the Pueblo chieftain brought that one out, and he said his story on this. It's kind of funny. His story on this is that he was defending a woman's virtue that was being assaulted or sexually assaulted or something. They were at a bar and this guy was hassling this girl, and he went and he beat up the guy. And as a result, Stephen Varela got arrested.
As happens when you're defending people's virtue.
Defending women.
Well, yeah, but if you're defending a woman's virtue and you got arrested for it, why seal the record?
Yeah,
why
yeah.
seal
well,
the record,
yeah.
you know? So that's kind of where I'm going. If it were me and I was defending and I got arrested, then it would be the cops that were the jerks, and I would wear that with a badge of honor that I was defending a woman's virtue, a helpless woman's
that's
virtue.
Why he invented it. Right. That's why he invented it.
Well, let's
talk about some of his cohorts, and in particular, our new national committee woman. Tell us about her.
So, Christy Fedora and I, we used to be good friends. When everybody knows that Pueblo County Republican Party has been a cluster for years. I mean, we just can't seem to get out of our own way and our heads out of our own asses sometimes. And in the last go round here, we had a county chair by the name of Rob Leverington, who was an ego in his own right, just doing things that were not basically in the powers of the county chair to do, like removing precinct chairs from their positions, you know, completely banishing them from county party activities and things like that. So Christy and I, and there was actually a group of us that were actually trying to get Rob Leverington removed as Pueblo County Chair. And we actually got to a point where we had a vote in a county central committee meeting, and we did ultimately oust Rob Leverington. However, Christy Burton Brown said that it was an illegal meeting, even though it wasn't. It was followed by procedure. She said it was an illegal meeting, and basically Rob Leverington stayed for the duration of his term.
Oh.
So the point that I'm getting at here is that there's a lot of backstabbing that goes on in politics. I think we all know that. Christy made a deal with Stephen Varela. Nobody knows what this deal is, but they've been propping him up. Christy is really the one that has propped him up and has elevated him to the point where he is now calling himself a board member of the Colorado State Education Board. They essentially duped our vacancy committee when Joyce Rankin resigned for, I don't even know what she resigned for, but they duped our vacancy committee into thinking that he's this top-notch conservative to be appointed. They installed him onto that board, and now he's bragging about defending charter schools from the far left radical far left mob. And then it came out that our friend George Ottobee here, who is Stephen Varela's Democrat mentor, he basically lobbied Stephen Varela basically lobbied Jared Polis to accept an application to appoint George Ottobee to a charter school board in the state. So what? now the far left radical mob is a part of a charter school board that basically governs the rising generations, the education standards of our rising generations. So he's talking out of both sides of his mouth here. And that's the dangerous thing.
Any woman from Colorado who supports and is coterminous with Stephen Varela. Where
yeah.
is that put him?
Well, it gets even better than that, because, So obviously everybody knows Christy Fedora was just elected as National Committee Woman. Prior to that position, she was elected as a bonus member in Pueblo County, and she was also the vice chair of the 3rd Congressional District. So you're going to love this, guys. During the 3rd CD Assembly, Dave Peters, he's the chairman of CD3, and he pretty much ran the show for the Judicial District and the Education and the Department of Education Board assemblies there. Then we took a break. We took kind of an intermission, and then all of a sudden we go into the third congressional seat nominations, and he appoints Christy Fedora to preside over that that particular election process. Well, here's the problem. Aside from her holding the positions that she did, she also endorsed Stephen Varela, which an endorsement was on his actual campaign website since January. And about a week before I sent out my final email to the delegates and to the state central committee, Stephen Varela had gone and he pulled all of those endorsements off of his website. So Christy Fedora didn't even have the integrity to withdraw herself from presiding over that particular assembly process, number one. Number two, when the nomination actually happened, there was a gentleman by the name of Ed Perry, who currently sits on the state executive committee. He basically gave the same slobberfest nomination speech he gave to Stephen Varela back in 22, only it was on a congressional level here. And somewhere in there, I didn't catch it because I was engaging in conversation, but somewhere in there, it's alleged that he said that that Ed Perry said, as a proud Democrat, I support Stephen Varela. I support and nominate Stephen Varela. So I'm thinking to myself, well, that should have been an illegal nomination, number one. And, you know, I've been to quite a few of these to know that that's not how things work at Republican assemblies. So when you have a guy that even the nominator identifies himself as a proud Democrat, we got problems in our party, I think.
How has Varela, though, gotten away with this for so long? Because, I mean, it's been going back and forth and back and forth. He switched parties, and he kind of does, he's been doing interviews. As you said, he's been, you know, sort of seeking any and every political office that seems to be open. Doesn't matter which party, just whichever he thinks he can win at. How come, or have we just missed it, you know, because we're not in Pueblo, but it's never been exposed like this before, or has it? And does he just somehow seem to skate?
Well, how did he win the assembly? CD3.
Yeah.
Pueblo County. You know, we had Pueblo was allotted 99 delegates. And of course, if you were I'm not sure how many exactly showed up to the CD3 assembly, but Pueblo County is predominantly what held him over. Now, I can't confirm this, but it's believed, to Chuck's point, it's believed that Stephen Varela was kind of used by Mesa County. To basically get him on the ballot so that he could take votes away from Jeff Hurd. So it's
not
alleged
from
that
Hurd,
from Ron Hanks.
Ron Hanks.
Or from Ron Hanks, yeah. It almost appeared like Mesa County was wanting to split the vote as much as they can to help Jeff Hurd.
Mesa County is the far left of the Republican Party.
They're Democrats too.
They're Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go over there, so.
Well, if you did, you'd find out. Delta County are on the far left of the Republican Party. They're always against the pro-Trumpers. They're always trying to figure out some way to attack Dave Williams. And so if they came down, they'd be perfect with having Varela because they are just awful.
Well, I mean, the bottom line here that I hope the voters in CD3 see is this: Stephen Varela, whether he's just sort of corrupt or just completely without any principles, so he switches party constantly, or whether he's a pawn of the Democrats or a pawn of Americans for Prosperity or a pawn of both. This is a weird kind of, and I think it's disturbing, election interference, right? And it needs to be called out. And I think he gets so upset and he's trying to lie his way through things that people just need to understand what they're voting for, right? It's like, if you like Stephen Varela and you are in agreement with, vote for him, right? If you like Jeff Hurd and you want to, you know.
No, don't.
But what I'm saying, though, is this is for the people who don't understand sometimes the degree of money that gets thrown into races and the degree of manipulation. It's important to see through that. And to, when you hear Stephen Varela try to convince you, it was hacked, I didn't change it, that's just a lie. And there's a reason he's lying. And we don't want to elect him to Congress. What if we elect him to Congress and he does a Kevin Priola, right? What if we elect him, or they, CD3 elects him to Congress as a Republican, right? Well, or even just, and then he changes his affiliation again as soon as he gets there, right? I mean, what's to stop him from doing that? That's just... dangerous, I think.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the concern too, is at this point, I say that Stephen Varela has a silver tongue. I mean, he can be very persuasive and very convincing, and he tends to kind of prey on those types of people. I mean, I personally think he's a sociopath. You know, I think he's a narcissist, but then again, so am I. So,
there you go.
It is what it is. I think that Stephen Varela genuinely is chasing a political title with a political size paycheck. I mean, he's a climber, and he wouldn't have excelled that as far as he did in the Democrat Party if he didn't have an objective of his own, if he didn't have an agenda that or a certain lifestyle that he thinks that he needs to have, or a certain lifestyle that he thinks that he owes.
The Americans for Prosperity.
Yeah.
Could be. But I think he is also one that will pander to the highest bidder. And his story does change depending on who he's talking to.
But that's the problem with the Republican Party. They'll buy any phony story. I mean, all you have to do is, you know, like up here, we've got Gabe Evans. Gabe Evans is the biggest phony you ever met. He also has all the money from Americans for Prosperity.
I don't know. Have you met Stephen Varela?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's probably closer to Jeff Hurd, but he is one that we had a meeting in Adams County, and he came and I asked him, well, you know, you had a Principles of Liberty scorecard, one of 62. No, I said, what was your American for Prosperity score? He said, I have no idea. I never look at that. And I said, I do at 62. He said, no, not at 67. I said, wait a minute. I thought you never looked at it.
Hey, listen, we got to let Alex go because we have another guest coming
so
up.
Much.
Alex, thank and sure. Keep us posted as you go through this, because I think it's the kind of thing that we need to keep attention on so people don't get fooled, because clearly somebody is trying to fool the voters of CD3.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right,
thank
take
you.
Care.
So then a couple of questions. So Sandra was saying she missed it. Who is Alex Magadu? I would call him essentially a grassroots Republican from Pueblo, right? And he's done some work.
He ran for party chair.
Right, exactly. Stephen Varela got into the race a while ago. He's been in the CD3 race for a while. But all of this information has now been coming out about him. And from Charlene.
Thanks to Alex.
Really. Yeah, thanks to Alex. Exactly. I love this guest with the receipts. It looks like another split the vote rhino tactic.
Yes.
Exactly, Charlene. I always ask for. First, who benefits? Koch supported Hurd benefits, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being buds with KDB is another red flag, exactly. So I think, but again, it's interesting to me the whole, because I mean, there's been so much attention on flipping Pueblo red, so yay for that. But on the other hand, it's like, well, what does that?
Well, actually, Pueblo County is not red. So if we had more time, we can talk about that too. But we'll get to that another day. Pueblo County is not red.
All right, thanks, Alex. All right, thank you.
Sure.
Well, take care. Do that to prop it up. So, bottom line, vote for Ron Hanks if you're CD3. There you go. And I think, Chuck, you're right. It could be the Democrats. It could be Americans for Prosperity splitting the vote.
It's
everybody,
the same group. It's
yeah.
the same thing. They try to kill grassroots people like Ron. I mean, that's what they do.
And then from Sandra, and Thomas, if you want to go ahead, you could probably call Daniel Greenfield now too. I listened to Julie's interview on the Mandy McConnell podcast. Connell is 100 times worse than I remembered and 10 times worse than Peter Boyles. What a POS, Julie, you did great. Oh, thank you. It's typical, and you see that with some of the Stephen Varela stuff, right? Where, you know, you point these things out and they're like, either it's like, oh, that's not true, or that doesn't matter, or the story changes. It's like, you know, the facts just don't matter. And again, for Stephen Varela to ask us to believe that somebody is targeting him for 11 years,
hacking. He's asking the Secretary of State to get right on it.
He never bothered before, right?
No.
Until the Pueblo chieftain, well, he was a Democrat in 2020. Why would anyone be a Democrat in 2020, right? And if you were a Democrat in 2020 after Trump, right, after 4 years of Trump, and you're like, oh no, that we just couldn't handle
well,
that.
You know, we should play that one from Channel 9 where they even point out that he switches all the time.
Right. Well, and I, you know, I guess sometimes guys like that, they get used to being to fooling people. Do you know what I mean? And maybe just nobody paid attention or nobody was willing to bring it out. But anyway, we're going to switch gears here and go with Daniel Greenfield. He's a Shulman Journalist Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's been on our show many times. Has a great new book out, Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Hey, Daniel, thank you for
being here.
I appreciate it.
Good to have you.
Thank you. Pleasure's all mine.
So basically, and we did not have a chance to read the book because it's just coming out, but it sounds like what you're saying, and Chuck is the historian, this whole fight against the left, that's been part of our country from the very beginning?
Yeah, I call it the 200 plus year left war against America. It has been there from the very beginning. They were going after George Washington. They were going after the Constitution, not just something that's happening now, not just something that was happening in the 60s or the 1920s, but from the very beginning.
Well, tell us, how do you mean?
So the French Revolution was the equivalent of that day of the Communist Revolution. It was spreading around the world, including to America, and the supporters of that revolution were absolutely committed to bring the guillotine, as they called it, to America. You would have left-wing papers that actually depicted George Washington in front of the guillotine. And George Washington's big crime was that he did not actually want to ally the United States with the French Revolution. He did not want this to come to America. And one point, he actually goes out and he commands troops in the field. He becomes the first and the last president to ever command troops in the field when going up against some of these leftist revolutions that they were trying to set up in America. So this was a very real fight, and it was a foreign enemies thing also from the very beginning, because they were backed by agents of the French Revolution. This is actually how the Democratic Party gets its name. Originally, it's the emissaries of the French Revolution who set up these organizations called Democratic Societies. They're left-wing organizations. They then give their name to the Democratic Republican Party, which eventually then gives its name to the Democratic Party. So from the very beginning, the Democrats were a left-wing operation.
Well, the Democratic Republican Party was the predecessor to the Republican Party, but they did get the name from that group.
Is there a direct line correlation? I mean, because George Soros wasn't there back then, but I mean, can walk us through a little bit, because we've had other guests who've talked about this too, and I think it's important that people understand, at least in my opinion, that a lot of the chaos and the pro, you know, Palestinian, the pro Hamas things going on, all of this, I think, is part of a long-term plot to essentially destroy America and cause chaos and things like that. And then the elite people will step in. But can you talk a little bit about the history then? Is it as coordinated, or was it just coincidental, or how does that trace?
So, you know, we actually had discussions about the Logan Act. You hear about this now and again, which makes it illegal to coordinate with foreign governments. John
right.
Kerry was in violation of the Logan Act. He was never charged with it. The name actually comes from a person in that era who was feverishly working together with the emissaries of the French Revolution to undermine America. And by undermine, I mean this in a big way. There was actually a brief naval conflict, a quasi-war with France, during which they coordinated with members of Congress to influence the results of a presidential election. They actually specifically timed attacks on American ships, and the French emissary would speak about meeting with his friends in Congress to properly time these attacks. So this is really what they were from the very beginning. The Democrats, the left, were a radical organization that were determined to overthrow America and replace it with their ideal society. At this time, you know, we think of the French Revolution, they took down a king, yes, but eventually what happened was a radical leftist dictatorship that was killing everybody. They abolished conventional religion. They created a cult of the supreme being. They created their own calendar. They had this vision of a completely regimented leftist utopia, and there were people who wanted to bring this to America at any cost.
Wow. Well, and now they're back again. Or these maybe they never really departed.
Really, when you get down to it, the ideal of socialism has been around as long as man has been around. I mean, you have two systems. You have a nuclear family, which you go from each according to their abilities, to each according to their needs, which is Marx's phrase. But that's how a nuclear family works. And then they try to extend it that's when it totally fails. I mean, the Mayflower, all the people agreed they'd have all the property together and no one would own it individually in order to pay off the company that did it. Well, it was such a disaster, they almost starved themselves. Yeah. And so they went to private property. But private property The apostles got together after Christ was killed and tried to do a communal group. But it's an ideal that always fails, but never stops from coming back.
That is exactly right. And that is exactly how a lot of this got started. You would then have communes around the 1820s or so
Yes.
that were set up to have property in common. They claimed that they were drawing inspiration from Christianity, but in reality, they were leftists. They also set out to abolish religion and marriage, of course, and the family. And these people were actually called communists because they were living in these communes where everything was in common.
Well, and part of it is too, isn't it? I mean, the way I understand socialism is they're usually at the top, as in everything. There are some people who do really, really well, and they're like what they need and what they get is not in direct proportion to what they contribute. I mean, in the end, I think a lot of it, and particularly now, comes down to just trying to get power, right? It doesn't have very much to do for the people who are pulling the strings with principles or idealism, does it?
Well, Bernie has announced that he's running for another term. He's about 200. He clearly wants to
He's
die in
82,
office.
but
So we see the system.
yeah.
Yeah, we see the socialists who just want perpetual power. This is an ideological way for them to justify it.
What do you make of some of these, and how does this tie in with the, to the, or get us to like the again, these protests, and they're not protests, they're just, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas people, anti-Israel people taking over college campuses to again disrupt and sow chaos in America. How do you see that going forward? Because I guess now they're saying that they're gearing up, but I mean summer's coming, so it's be pleasant. I mean, what do you
No, that
see
will
happening
slow them
with the air?
down.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it'd be nice out.
It was bound to be something. I always note that the BLM riots happen on election years. Apparently, no drug dealers get shot on off years. It's not a coincidence. If there hadn't been a war with Hamas, there would be something else. They'd be rioting in the streets over the environment, which they were kind of doing already. They'd be rioting over abortion. It would be something. The important thing is the riot. The cause is just a way to recruit particular people into those riots. So by going pro-Hamas, they're bringing all these Muslims into the riots. If it would be abortion, there'd be more of these suburban Karens. It's always going to be something, but the cause itself is to overthrow America.
How in the past, then, going back historically, did they fight it? What kind of tactics did they use, and are any of them applicable to today?
Question.
So one of the earliest things that they did was, in some cases, they utilized martial law. They also passed something called the Alien and Sedition Act
Yes.
because they recognized that a lot of these people were coming from abroad. They were foreign agents. They were agents of foreign governments, in this case, France. Back then, today we have a whole other raft of people. We partially actually kept some of those laws on the books. They played a role during the Cold War with the Communist Control Act and some other anti-communist legislation. Some of these laws are on the books today. The problem is, like the Logan Act, we just do not tend to enforce them, which gives them a free pass. And that's unfortunate because we really need to stand up and protect this country by using the laws that are already on the books.
But one of
Well, the problem is, whether it's the Logan Act, or which was 1798, or the Alien and Sedition Act was also 1798, or the sedition law they brought in 1917 and 1918, they end up being used against the right. They'd be they use the Logan Act against General Flynn
Right.
because they don't care, and they're going to use the Sedition Act, the Espionage Act against Trump. So the trouble with those laws are the ones that enforces it
Yeah.
are the left.
Yeah. There's a double standard here, and that's something we see over and over again. And this comes from a failure to crack down on the left. If you don't crack down on the left, they will crack down on you. A lot of
Yeah.
Republicans think that they're being very liberal, very tolerant. They're not going to lock, we talked about locking up Hillary during the 2016 election. Then, of course, we're not actually going to lock her up. Well, if you don't lock up Hillary, she will lock you up. This is the
Yes.
basic lesson with the left. If you don't deal with the left, they're going to deal with you, and they're not going to be bothered by any of these concerns
No.
or objections or the rule of law. They're not going to care.
No, look what's going on with Trump, right? Today, the judge said, he'll put him in jail. He said, you fined him another $1,000 and said, I know it'll look bad, but I'll put you in jail. You're right. And you tend to think, oh, they would never do that. It's like, of course they would do that. Republicans wouldn't, but the Democrats, I don't think, would even hesitate to do that. Do you?
That's exactly the problem right there. Republicans wouldn't do it. They didn't do it to any of the, they didn't do it to Hillary. They didn't do it to any of the leftists. Yet, of course, the other side has no such problems. They actually are built on this. They want power and they want to lock up their political opponents.
What, how close do you think are we to, I mean, how thin a line is there defending our country against, because we've talked before with you about the radical left and then the communists, the Marxists, you think, you know, taking over. How close is it, do you think, or how
election.
Precarious? Yeah.
Well, they control a whole lot of the infrastructure, unfortunately. The semi-good news is that the left has now become so emboldened that they're pushing for direct power. They're pushing for actual revolution. They're pushing for violence. And the left is most successful when it works its way through the system, as we've seen over and over again. Somebody like Bill Ayers, who works his way through the system, gets power. When they actually engage in domestic terrorism and violence, people turn against them. And this is what tends to happen in American history. I discuss it in my book, Domestic Enemies. There's a cycle. The left aims too far. It goes after too much. It turns openly to violence. And Americans turn against it and reject it. And there's a conservative reaction. We've seen this in our own lifetimes. I hope we're going to see it again before too long.
How though, what worries me and all of that, though, are things like the deep state, right? So, you know, if Joe Biden mm-hmm. wants to declare like a COVID emergency, a bird flu emergency, a climate emergency, all of a sudden now the FBI can arrest us if we say anything. I mean, do you worry? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I know there's probably always been a deep state, but it seems to me that it is firmly entrenched with, you know, tentacles everywhere.
Yeah. There is the left has acquired a vast amount of authority, cultural and institutional power. They're now getting a death grip even on the military and on law enforcement. This kind of thing emboldens them. But again, America is not Germany. It's not Russia. Americans will put up with a whole lot, but there is a point at which they will just not put up with it anymore. And once the left becomes so convinced that they have total power, that they can utilize that power, there's going to be a clash between the open domestic terrorists and the institutional left, which includes the deep state. And at that point, the whole thing comes apart.
Wait, how do you mean explain? So you mean they'll start tearing themselves apart, basically?
You're already seeing this. I mean, you've got mobs of protesters showing up outside Biden events. You've got Pelosi screaming at protesters. They are tearing themselves apart because this is what the left always does. You look at history, what happened in Russia, what happened in China. They start tearing themselves apart. They start killing each other, even back to the French Revolution, which is where I begin the book. They start destroying themselves because they are a movement of extremists. Their goal is not just to wipe out the right, wipe out the moderates. They start wiping out each other. And at that point, everything explodes.
Well, let me, Daniel, finally, question for you, just so folks know, again, your book, Domestic Enemies, the Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Where, I'm assuming it's all over. People can get it anywhere you can get books.
Exactly.
All right. Daniel Greenfield, thank you.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Daniel Greenfield, you know, we've talked a lot about that though before, right? That it mm-hmm. seems sometimes, it seems like, oh, this is just happening. And it's like, no, it's been going on. Here, this is from Charlene. Yes, Washington was opposed to the, quote, parties and the Bank of England trying to get into America. Andrew Jackson literally punched one in the head during his watch. Follow all ideologies back to their money. And then Charlene, I told you a year ago, they were working on the drip, drip, drip to prepare us for locking Trump. A lot of what they allow to come through the media is predictive programming. Yeah. Although I think one of the points that's hopeful about that is it's not working in terms of the polls, right? I mean, there's been so much drip, drip, drip that people aren't even paying attention anymore. There's this assumption that I think by a lot of people that whatever they're doing against Trump, they're just making up, which they are just making up. And I think that it becomes less and less effective. And I think Trump has been handling it perfectly. I mean, Trump, he came out today after the judge threatened to lock him up again and said, I'm willing to go to jail for the First Amendment. I'm willing to fight. And he would. It was something effective. I'm willing to be a martyr for the First Amendment.
Wow.
And,
great.
You know, so if that happens, I think, again, there are a lot of people who look at that and are like, I mean, we've seen what they've done to the January 6th people. Yeah. Who are saying if they could do that to him, they could do that to anybody, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was interesting. The point about Washington being against parties or factions is what they call them. And so were the founders of the Constitution. The trouble of that is a little bit like socialism. The founding fathers were pretty smart about human beings and how they'll lust for power, and you have to pit one against the other. Human beings combine to go after other human beings, whether it's the Crips and the Bloods, whether it's the East Siders or the West Siders, and they form in political parties. You cannot have a political body that isn't going to be in go into factions, because that's how they work. In the fact that Washington didn't realize that he was against something that was basic human nature shows that even those guys didn't see everything.
Well, and one of the things that Daniel mentioned is something you've talked about before too, though, and that is with the Democrat Party. Now, once they, when you're the Republican, you're kind of w looking for power now, even though when we have it, we throw it away. But you've said before, like the Democrat Party, they will start to, eat their own, so to speak, and
Well,
perhaps
they'll
implode.
divide up. I mean, you can't have constant. Once one side wins, and they're winning in Colorado, then you have to have some human. Just the wonderful or awful thing about human nature, you must have competitions. You must have CSU against CU.
Yeah.
You can't just have, well, we'll just play a no score, no thing, game and stuff. And so if they get all the power, well, then there has to,
Then somebody in there
yeah,
wants the
Helgard
rest of the
said
power.
that, thesis. Then antithesis, a new thesis following another antithesis. And that's just, it's an amazing thing about humans, which has put us on top of the food chain because we never stop. I mean, we just keep
It's
on.
just hard to stay in the top of the food chain for
Yeah,
them to be
well,
the king. Hey, we've got Jacob raising his hand. Jacob always has great comments
he
there.
does.
Hey, Jacob.
Hi. Just remember that the first Republican president won the election with a Democratic vice president. So he got it from both sides. He didn't get it alone on the Republican side.
Huh,
Andrew
Chuck.
Johnson was a Democrat.
Chuck is, I could see Chuck Medley going through his.
What's this?
Andrew Johnson, his vice president was a registered Democrat at the time of the election.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, yeah, although that won't happen now.
I mean, Andrew Johnson never ran. I mean, he got appointed after
Right.
Lincoln's assassination, but he didn't run
Right.
again.
Right, but he also got impeached.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the way Abraham Lincoln ran is to get some of the Democrats to vote for him along with the Republicans, he had a vice president that was a Democrat.
No, he wasn't. He was a Republican from a slave-owning state, but he
Oh.
wasn't a Democrat. The rest of the Republicans,
I thought he was a Democrat. I'm going to
no,
look it up, but I think
absolutely
so.
not. Absolutely not. He was a Republican from a slave-owning state.
Which would make him seem like a.
Well, you can't, but he was not a de I mean,
Again,
back
keep
then,
in mind, yeah, the
that, I mean, talk
Democrats were the
about,
slave owners.
yeah, the Democrats and Republicans truly hated each other back then. I mean, the Democrats are the slave owners, and they would not have permitted Lincoln to have a Democrat as his vice president.
But all right. All
Wrong
right. Hey,
order.
Jacob, thank you, though. We thank you.
But the other thing is, I wish you would show that commercial that Google dropped.
I
So.
know. I was going to, but then we had Alex and Daniel on, so we'll play it.
Which
So,
one?
well, so here, Jacob, you explain it.
Somebody from Biden's campaign calls up a voter and says, "Are you supporting Joe Biden?" Says, "Not after all the crazy things that have happened in Joe Biden's tenure." And so I'm voting for Trump. But the thing about it was that the voice of the person on the phone was that of a black person, and I think that was the issue with Google.
And
They
so
said
then
they didn't
Google run
hold
the
it.
ads.
Yeah.
Oh,
Google opened the
thank
ad.
God
So
for Google.
all right.
Thank God for
Hey,
Google.
Jacob, thank you. We'll try to
Yeah.
get that on maybe for Party Friday.
Yeah. All right. Be well. Bye-bye.
Yeah, well,
Take care.
and you gotta wonder, just election interference, just an interesting note regarding Rhino Watch, right? Because Rhino Watch CO puts out a newsletter for months. The newsletter has been arriving in my inbox, right? This last Friday, it went to my spam box. And when I went to look for it there, I also noticed Mark Hampton's Parker Conservative Honey Badger thing was there. And as was, even though I'm not a fan, Heidi Gnall's Rocky Mountain Voice.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I mean, previously the RNC sued Gmail, basically,
Yeah.
for sending conservative Republican stuff. This is just an aside. So every so if during this election cycle, periodically check your junk folder to see
If
if
you
they're
really do, I periodically forget to go to my junk folder, and you
right.
get some really important notifications there that
Right. that you need to. Hey, that's actually it's kind of that went quick. Wrap it up. I want to say on Wednesday, if he's listening, which I'm sure he's not because he's campaigning, but Ron Hanks put out not as a CD3 candidate, but as the chair of the Election Integrity Committee of the State Republican Party. We've talked before about Kent Theory and his plan to implement jungle primary and stuff.
Awesome.
Okay, so there are now three ballot initiatives pushing back against
Oh,
that
great.
essentially would put it in the Constitution that you couldn't do that.
Yeah, that'd be
Right.
great.
And so he is talking about how to, and I get, I think they're ready to go. I think they've been approved. But we want to try to get him on to explain that because that I think is a huge danger that Colorado
That's what I
faces.
can
I mean,
do.
because that will
And the only
destroy.
good part is the Democrats have so sewed up the state that, hey, why do we want to change what we've already sewed up?
Right. Oh, so when is the Trump interview with you two? He's off on Wednesday. Yeah, Trump will be here there. Yeah, really.
He'll be here.
I think
He'll
he's
be our
going
guest. We're be going away
to.
for an event, and he'll be the fill-in host.
He'll be the fill-in host. That'd be great. Hey, thank you to Daniel and to Alex and Thomas, as always, for doing a great job. And everybody on Zoom, remember, you can catch all the shows at chuckandjulie.com.
And some, oh, ships at sea.
And
Ships at sea.
we'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.